Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
It's The Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on music icons, pop culture, and food gods, we're bringing you the hottest guests from around the globe. With your music business authority, LA personal development commentator, Mike Gormley. The Jeremiah Show is sound designed by master sound engineer, Dr. D. He's a restaurant and bar fixer. He's opened and fixed over 200 restaurants, bars, and hotels. He's a partner with legendary drummer Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui. And he's your radio host. Step aside, Superman, from A Race Around the Sun, Jeremiah.
Dr. D, how are you today? Welcome to the listeners out there. Welcome to the Jeremiah Show.
Another gorgeous fall day.
Mm-hmm.
Leaves are turning.
They are turning. We talked about that off air. Let's talk about the leaves in better times, days.
We talked last program about walking in New England at this time of the year, crunching our feet on the fallen leaves, rolling in the leaves.
Kicking the piles
over, exactly. Re-raking.
Yeah, and we just talked to our guest off the air, listener, in case you're wondering about our special guest this show, about some nice, the fall weather in back up, and I should probably say Ojai. Can I say that? I don't know if I want to give out your location. I won't give out your home address, Chef.
She lives on a houseboat on Lake Casitas.
You can give that out, too.
Yeah. Lake Casitas, that's where you live, on a houseboat.
I just saw a concert there in the park in Ojai.
Really?
What a great venue that is. Oh, I've never been there before.
I bet your weather was good.
Weather is beautiful.
Perfect.
So, let's talk about L.A. for a minute,
okay.
Dr. D.
Okay.
And we broadcast out of Santa Barbara, and I know everybody loves Santa Barbara, and so do I. Mm-hmm. But there's something magical. I've lived many years in L.A., back and forth there a couple times a week, and there's something magical, in my opinion, that happens in L.A. around the holidays.
It's called La La Land.
Yes, it is La La Land. And the markets are packed.
Mm.
The parking lots are packed. Everyone's hustling and bustling and shopping and picking up good food to take home and hitting their favorite restaurants and, you know, meeting their friends, their families, dining, shopping, drinking, laughing.
I'm hearing silver bells in the background somewhere.
and maybe I'm romanticizing this and maybe it's not like this at all, but it feels like it to me. Every holiday, especially around Thanksgiving, it's these long lines in these iconic markets or restaurants, and everybody's out picking up food, you know, friends in town, and they're celebrating and doing that with food and drink. And there's something magical about that to me.
Oh,
that's just and Thanksgiving more than I think any other holiday. Yeah. I never forget my first year at Santa Monica Seafood when I worked at the Colorado store and moved it over to Wilshire there. And we moved over to Wilshire, and there was just a line around the block and things the night before Thanksgiving, people picking up, you know, items from the deli and from, you know, fresh fish and different things like that to take home. And around the block, and people just kind of leaning on their cars and just waiting patiently. And
really? Waiting patiently?
Honestly.
Wow.
The lines are almost fun a little bit around the holidays.
In LA,
I don't know. Again, I'm making this up, and it's something I remember, but it was just kind of
magical. Martin Scorsese film is what you're remembering.
Right. It's kind of like you just accept your fate, you know?
Yeah.
And so you start talking to the stranger next to you, and then when you finally get there, you know, it's just fun. You're looking at the food and and good food at the end of it. Don't forget the punchline is that there's always good food served or good drink served. And one of the magical places is the Cheese Store in Beverly Hills. I just love going in there at the holidays and even been invited in that bed. They have a back secret room that they cut, you know, different types of cheese and
by
meats,
invitation
by
only.
Invitation only. And you're sitting there behind, in between the bottles of wine and cases of wine.
Man.
And there's a little table back there.
Norbit
will want me to give that away, but it's too late. Again,
it's too
just
late
like
now.
Chef Suzanne Tracht, our special guest today, gave away her secret location in Ojai. let me talk about Chef. I know you're there and I want to bring you in. I just wanted to give you proper due here that you deserve. deserve. One of the magical places that I'm referring to also is Jar, Chef Suzanne's restaurant. At Passover Seder and Thanksgiving dinner, it's a ritual. Mm. One of these rituals in town, these iconic places that everybody goes, and that you kind of have to know about, hear about it, but you've got to experience it yourself.
That is something I really would like to experience. I really would. I've been very, very interested and curious about the traditions, especially I grew up Catholic, so I got a lot of traditions, but the Jewish traditions, mm-hmm. They're very interesting. And I found out too that Hanukkah, which happens around the same time as Christmas, I was going, wow, you guys have a big holiday too. I said, no, that is not one of our big ones.
And I can hear Chef Suzanne here. She wants to get a word in. So
yes, please.
Before I properly introduce her.
also everybody's really excited. Just driving back from, this morning. I mean, everything's festive. People are, there's pumpkin patches. Yeah. There's set up for carnivals and this and that. So we have to remember that. We lost a year. Mm. Lost last year.
Yeah.
So we have to make up for lost time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Does it make everything sweeter right now, do you think, in your opinion, Chef?
It just seems like, we're finally... We're seeing a little bit more normalcy than we saw last year,
mm-hmm.
where, you can leave your house and, maybe you can have, festivities with your family, more than 10 people. So I think it's exciting.
It is. It's in the air. And do you agree with me on that feeling in LA around the streets and in the shops? And, it gets harder, but it's also like this shared experience, like a tradition almost where it's human.
Yeah.
You're being human. You're human again, you're
right. And, and the weather, finally we have some cool nights, which is, the past couple of nights have been nice and chilly, maybe need a heater when you wake up in the morning. So that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
we could just hope for rain now. So it's the holidays. It's a change of the season, change of the leaves. And to me, it's my favorite time of year.
It is, and I want to hear about why it's your favorite time of year, but you make, and we're talking about your Thanksgiving menu here today on the show, and ahead of time, we always make everybody hungry during this show. You've got a little time, you got a little ways off from Thanksgiving, but not too far, so I would plan on making Chef Suzanne Track's Thanksgiving menu, your Thanksgiving menu. You don't need to cook this year. Let me talk. Right. So Jar, your restaurant was Jonathan Gold's, on Jonathan Gold's 101 best restaurants in LA. It's the awards and the accolades are too numerous to mention here, although we could if you'd like me to. LA Weekly 2018, 99 Essential Los Angeles Restaurants, LA Magazine 75 Best Restaurants, LA Times Critics' Choice, Food Network's The Best Thing I Ever Ate, Jar Signature Pot Roast, Cooking Channel's The Best Thing I Ever Ate, it just goes on and on and on. And Zagat says, walk into Suzanne Trek's Modern Chop House restaurant today, and it's as good as it was when it opened in 2001. Mm. The wood paneled walls, the chic mushroom-like light fixtures, the warm tones. This dining room is recognizable from any angle, especially when it's used as a set for LA movies like La La Land.
There you go.
Congratulations on that. How cool. I saw that. Even when full, there's a soft hum to the place that makes dinner here great for business meetings, dates, and family gatherings. The bar is a good option for drop-ins, my favorite spot to go, especially for martinis and complimentary potato chips and horseradish dip. Great reviews from everyone, Chef Suzanne. And Chef Suzanne Tract has built Jar into one of the best and most beloved successful restaurants in Los Angeles, drawing on inspiration from classic American comfort cuisine. Again, my favorite. Jar is a pilgrimage for passionate eaters and wine lovers from across the country and the globe. I've never said this before on the show. I don't think I've ever said what my favorite restaurant is.
Uh-huh.
It's Chef Susan Hand's restaurant jar. It's a, you know, a chop house, a steak. It's just so classic chop house. And imagined as only the great chef Suzanne Tract could imagine. So
right. Well, also, you know, besides all those great chops and everything, this is also the time of year that we get excited because we get to start braising. You know, we do a lot of braises in-house as well. Like, you know, our pot roast, our Coco Vaughn. But this time of year, we can really, you know, really beef it up a little bit. We've been doing braised pork shanks, braised lamb shanks. We'll do oxtail. So that with the weather cooling off, comes some great braising season as well.
Yeah, and yeah, like you said, it's just a, it does say holidays. It does say fall, right? Oh, fall weather, that you're that type of food.
Yes.
At this type of year. Chef Suzanne, how would you describe for someone who hasn't seen the interior of the restaurant, who hasn't sat at the bar, who hasn't sat at one of the famous tables, and just the whole ambiance of the restaurant? How would you describe it in your words as the founder?
Well, it's a very comfortable dining room. And it's like, you know, maybe a chop house that your parents maybe brought you to when you were younger, with the, you know, the warmness of our chairs. Our chairs actually have rollers on the bottom where they're very comfortable. They're, you know, clubby, but very nice. But it also has a little bit of a feminine accent as well, the dining room with the colors and the light fixtures. That everybody loves our light fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
They look like giant discs, like flying saucers. And then, you know, our walls are all walnut, beautiful walnut walls. And that's why people, I think, they come to Jar and they continue coming because they feel comfortable in the dining room.
Feels like home, right? It does. I mean, in
yeah,
a way,
it feels like home, those... exactly. Mm.
That reminds me of a couple of restaurants that I've been to. Two in particular in the Phoenix, Arizona area. One was called Beef Eaters, and it was a prime rib place. And and they had those heavily cushioned booths as well as the chairs on wheels. Which was really kind of cool.
I remember Beef Eaters, of course.
And then another one called Durant's on Central Avenue. Yep. We have something sort of like that here in Santa Barbara, Jeremiah. You could put Harry's in that category, mm-hmm. but more so, I think,
or the Tee-Off.
The Tee-Off. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you both are, since you mentioned it, you both are from the same town.
Yeah. Yeah, not too far off.
Neighbors.
I probably bicycled by you when I was a kid flying through town.
Yep, absolutely.
May I ask where the name Jar came from for the restaurant?
Just another restaurant. we had to come up with a name. So
it could have been Spoon.
Another restaurant.
Just another restaurant.
Could have been Pavers.
I didn't know that little fact.
I like that.
Yeah, I never thought about it. Good question, Dr. D. What did you set out to accomplish with Jar 20 years ago? Chef Suzanne?
You know, 20 years ago, there really wasn't any chop houses around here, like steak houses. Now there's a lot.
Yeah.
But we were missing that. And, you know, I work in a lot of restaurants. You're in Los Angeles. Everybody's kind of a picky eater, you know. If mm-hmm. you do a composed dish, they decompose it because, oh, I can't have this. I can't have that. So it's like, why not open a chop house and you can have it the way you'd like to, you know, you choose your protein. If you want to come in and have cream spinach and a pot roast and some french fries, you can. Or if you want a nice, you know, beautiful piece of fish and some steamed asparagus, you can do that as well.
Mm.
We it's also, you know, seasonal. Our sides are all seasonal.
Nice.
So we're getting into the kombucha squash season, long cooked kale, things like that.
What about the beef? Where do you get the beef? And is this because obviously everybody, but a lot of people are concerned about the way we're treating our animals and so on and so forth. So I'm curious as to where you get your beef.
Well, I get my beef at a few places, actually. So a lot of it will come from the Midwest. And it's either prime or certified Angus, but it's mainly from the Midwest. My skirt steak is Akahushi. That's from, it's called Heartland, and that's coming from the Midwest as well.
Hmm.
Akahushi, it's a red cow. It's actually kind of like a Wagyu cow. It's very good, though.
Okay.
And that's raised here in the Midwest. Also, we use Salmon Creek Farms for our pork chops, which are the best pork chop I've ever had, and they're actually out of Montana.
Wow.
Hungry yet, Dr. D?
I was hungry when the show started 15 minutes ago.
So, yeah, but we really source it, and that's why I'm still here, I have to say. It's because it's where I source the meat, and I don't cut corners. Meat has gone through the roof. I've never seen prices like this, and you know how they start creeping up a little bit around Christmas, the beef prices?
Yeah.
Well, when it started creeping up, a few months ago, about 5 months ago, I said, oh, it'll go back down. I'm not going to change my prices. And then it's like, it didn't go back down. It kept going up and up and up.
How much is it 16% is what I saw recently, or is it more than that? The big
prices? It's about that.
Yeah.
It's about that. But when you're, you have, prime and you're using really great cuts of meat, it's expensive.
Yeah. Hmm. It's been a long 20 years that you've had JR, right, in the restaurant. The restaurant years have been a long, they've been tough since. For the last 20, I mean, it's always a tough business, but it's been extremely tough the last few years. And even,
I did open, I opened just a few days right before 9/11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. So, and I'm still here. Okay.
So you can face challenges. You're right. You're still here. And we should end for the break real quickly on that. You're still here. JR is still there. And there are not too many places, your favorite places, iconic places, family places, traditional places that you can say that about anymore, especially in the restaurant business. And so support JR.
Yeah.
Make a reservation. Get down there and sit at the bar and have a martini. Go down and see your favorite, your family, your friends around one of the great tables there in the comfortable dining room.
By the way, I understand, Chef, that you have a very special deal coming up in November. You're going to knock all prices back to the 20 years ago on November 31st.
Can you imagine? I mean,
disclaimer. That was Richard special.
What I sold my ribeye for?
Yeah.
I sold a ribeye for a 14 to 15 ounce ribeye for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm paying a pound now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty crazy to think about that, right?
Basically, she's saying politely, that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen.
But I will tell you, there is a Thanksgiving special. You need to, this is where you get your Thanksgiving
dinner.
There
you go.
JR.
All right.
The JR.
We do great things. We get pork shanks in from Snake River Farms, and we get the lamb shanks or Colorado lamb shanks, and we do a lot of braces too. You don't need to eat a $50 a pound steak. There's other cuts and other meat you can do as well, especially this time of year with the braising.
Yeah.
Chef Suzanne Track prepares a menu of her favorite dishes for the Thanksgiving holiday for you and your family. JR presents Thanksgiving dinner takeout ready for pickup on Wednesday, November 25th. The night before, with easy instructions for heating and preparing for the holiday home table. The menu features dishes inspired by Suzanne's family traditions and American holiday flavors. We're going to talk about those when we come back with Chef Suzanne Tracht, JR.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. We are Ann
and Heather,
and we are better together.
I said, come on in, I will not open myself up this way again. I lay my face to the saw, nor my teeth to the sand. I will not lay like this for days now upon in. You will not see me fall, nor see me struggle to stand. To be acknowledged by some touch from his not in. See the caged call. I said, come on in. I will not open myself up this way again.
My name's Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook, Awesome. I got a documentary coming out, a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music, Jeremiah, you're loved, Holmes.
The Jeremiah Show, your show to hear the best new music and exclusive artist interviews. You won't hear personal interviews like these anywhere else.
Hi, this is Johnny Valenti. I'm the owner of Birdland Jazz Club in New York City. For nearly four decades, going dark during the global pandemic taught me how important the arts, especially music, are to each of our cultures and our health. Musicians literally bring life and joy to our daily lives. Radio shows that support musicians and music, like the Jeremiah Show, are so important in keeping music alive. I hope that you will keep listening and supporting musicians. Please support the music. And please come and visit me at Birdland when you're in New York City. Thank you.
Got no place to go, but there's a girl waiting for me down in Mexico. She got a bottle of tequila, a bottle of gin, and if I bring a little music, I could fit right in. We got airplane rides, we got California drowning out the window side. We got big black cars, and we got stories how we slept with all the movie stars. I may take a holiday in Spain, leave my wings behind me, drink my worries down the drain, and fly away to somewhere new.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We have Chef Suzanne Tracht on today. She owns Jar. And Chef, what is what's your favorite part about Thanksgiving holidays, the fall?
Just that the weather changes, and it just feels like, you know, it we had a hot summer, and it just, the holidays are coming, and it's time to, you know, get to the stove and start cooking, and all the fall vegetables come out, all the root vegetables, you know, all the things that I love, and all the dishes that you can make. You're not afraid to turn on your oven, and it makes your house smell so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's family. It's, you know, gathering a family as well.
Tell us about this, about your holiday menu, your Thanksgiving menu in particular is I don't know.
You know
how
what
to say it's
we do the same.
You do it, yeah, every year.
Menu every year. So, you know, if it's, you know, why fix it if it's not broken?
Yeah.
Well,
and everybody, you know, Georgia's also one of those places. Like if you change, for instance, one time I remember after I was open for a couple of years, I took the lemongrass chicken off the menu and decided to do a different kind of chicken. Boy, did I get in trouble by the customers. You know, I had to put it right back on. So it's kind of the same thing as Thanksgiving. So our Thanksgiving, we start off with, we make every year a chestnut chickpea soup, which is one of my favorite soups. And we use chestnuts and chickpeas to make it. And
if that doesn't sound like
and some roasted tomatoes. And it's a wonderful soup, especially for this time of year.
Perfect fall soup, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
And then we get our turkeys. We get our Mary's turkeys. And we break them down. So what we do is we take the whole breast and we brine the breast. And then the leg and thigh, the whole leg, we confit. So we cook in duck fat, actually.
Okay.
So that, because, you know, we only have like 2.5 ovens here at Jar, so it makes it easier when we go to roast the breasts, because they're already brined and they're so delicious after they've been brined. But they cook a little bit quicker, right? And then the confit of the leg and the thigh, I mean, they're just, it's off the charts. It's really good. You're not getting a dry piece of turkey here at Jar. So we do that, and then I make a cornbread turkey sausage stuffing with shiitake mushrooms.
God, that sounds so good.
And of course, there's no, you know, butter in there. I mean, okay, there's butter in there. A lot of butter and stock and vegetables, you know, the regular guys see celery and onion and leeks and a little bit of carrot. Then we have our pastry chef, Sandra, makes a wonderful homemade cranberry sauce. And you always... One thing about Thanksgiving, you always worry that you're going to run out of something. No matter how many years you do it, it's like, do I have enough? Do I have enough? You just have nightmares about it.
Yeah.
So we just make enough cranberry sauce for, you know, probably the entire universe.
I love cranberry sauce, especially something too. Homemade. Like
everybody
that.
Loves oh, it. Boy. And boy, if you're out of cranberry sauce, you know, there's had to be rules.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Now, I am not a purist. I love cranberry sauce, homemade stuff, okay? But I am not I'm not a stickler for purism. I will eat it out of the rippled edged can.
What?
Gross. Sorry. You're not that. I enjoyed watching it.
Watching it's
bit,
fun, yes. Watching it's fun.
Oh, you just got shamed by Chef Susan.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Yeah.
That's she's making
gross.
Us.
There's something about the fresh when you get those cranberries and they kind of pop in your mouth and you have. Oh, they're so good.
I have a feeling if he had yours, he would, Doctor, he would never
would
go
never
back
go
yeah,
to
I'm
another
gonna
can.
I'm going to bring you some.
All right.
Here, how's that?
Okay.
We'll meet you halfway in Ojai.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
All right.
Now.
Even closer.
And were you finished with this menu? Have you finished torturing us?
Yeah, well, we do, you know, our mashed potatoes. Of course, you have old mashed potatoes with a gravy and our long-cooked Tuscan kale.
What is that?
So
what is the Tuscan kale?
Kale.
Oh, kale. I beg your pardon. Kale.
So it's a black kale. It's
okay.
A black kale.
Oh, okay. What about yams or sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top kind of thing? Is that is not a traditional thing? And that's kind of why I'm asking.
You know what? When we are open, I mean, we're not, I used to do every year when we're open, but last year we weren't open and this year we're just doing to go as well. I used to do a sweet potato au gratin.
Oh, wow.
And I can't do it this year because I don't have enough oven space. But it's one of the biggest hits. So the sweet potato au gratin. And actually what I'll do is I'll make that and I'll have it as specials, you know, for probably the next month or so. But I use sweet potatoes, the yams, and then also I use some regular potatoes, like a russet. These potatoes are so good this year. So kind of half and half, and we do a lot of Gruyere, Parmesan, heavy cream, and leeks, lots of wilted leeks. And we make a big old honkin' a gratin out of that.
What about dessert? Although I'm afraid,
dessert?
I think...
This year for dessert, we're doing a pear cranberry almond crumble.
Ooh.
That sounds
good. Yeah, usually we'll do pumpkin pie, but this year we're just limiting it to one dessert.
Has anybody ever called you a temptress?
Yeah, no.
This is amazing. Would you consider, is all of this, if you were serving this in the restaurant, which I know you're not doing, I guess, this year, but if you were, would all of this be on the table at the same time, or would it be sort of courses kind of thing?
Yeah, no. Well, first of all, at the restaurant, you would sit down and you'd either have the butter lettuce salad with the radish.
Good stuff.
Or you'd have the chestnut chickpea soup. And then from there, everything, it's family style. The mains are family style. Mm,
great stuff.
And then dessert, you would choose, of course. You'd have your own dessert.
Jeremiah. Get up off the floor.
Chef, I was just going to say, you really got Richard excited because I haven't been able to get a word in. Dr. D is so excited about this menu. What I like about the menu is it's also traditional in your way. It's traditional at Jar. It's traditional in your way, and it's a really great traditional Thanksgiving menu. It's prepared in a way that you probably have never tried before. And I also think that the menu, also, it sounds like you're encouraging people people to eat a lot and to relax and lay around with their family afterwards.
Yeah,
after
exactly. That, you know, enjoy their home, set up a table outdoors or whatever. I mean, it was a big decision for me not to open this year again. I mean, last year we could not, but I didn't want to pack the restaurant in or pack outside and it could rain or, and put anybody in any kind of, you know, COVID danger, including my staff, myself, everybody, you know?
Yeah. So especially in the holidays.
I'm looking forward to, you know, people picking up this year and then hopefully next year back to normal. Yeah.
How many people do you think you serve with your Thanksgiving, your annual Thanksgiving, you know, tradition?
Oh, we used to do maybe about 350. Wow. And we would start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So we'd go from 1 and we'd take our last seating at 8. It's a long day.
Yeah, it is.
No kidding.
And how many do you think are you projecting or forecasting that you'll serve this year with this menu to take away?
We might do about the same. I'll see. We might do about the same.
Well, I love it. I'm so happy to have you on to talk about our favorite season and holiday around here at the show. It sounds so good. It's so tempting. And I'm going to give out information here after we say goodbye, Chef Suzanne Chef Suzanne Trax. Thank you for taking the call today and filling us in on what's going on at JAR.
Yeah, I might bring you some leftovers. You never know.
we'll take them.
For sure. You're paying, you might get some leftovers.
Make sure you get them to me, though, first, because I have a feeling if Dr. D gets them first, I might not have any. There will be no more leftovers of the leftovers. Okay, I wanted to just point out that there's so much good to be said about JAR, and I'm so happy that you are here, and please go support JAR and go have a dinner there. It's not support. It's just supporting yourself, supporting your culinary food habits and just really having a great time at JAR. Real quickly, Chef, you give a lot back to the community. And are there? Could you give us a couple of your passion projects that maybe we can help, or our listeners could help out with?
Well, since I do feed people, they're usually deal with, you know, feeding people, whether it's Soba, which helps give groceries out as part of the Federation, the Jewish Federation, but it's Soba, but it's non-denominational, and they do a great job. And then also No Kid Go Hungry.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Good. We support you that as well.
Okay. Yeah, and then also like the Saban Center down the street from us, so we really give a big shout out to them. They really help out with a lot of the health issues, health crisis. People can go there and make an appointment without having health insurance.
Well, thank you for your fantastic menu, your fantastic food over the years, and for continuing to be there, and for all that you do for everyone. Really appreciate you, Chef Suzanne. I wanted to read the Pulitzer Prize winning Los Angeles Times and LA Weekly restaurant critic Jonathan Gold gave JAR a coveted spot on his 101 best restaurants in LA list every year since its inception. He says, Chef Suzanne Trax's gift lies in her ability to reproduce the old tastes within a modern context so that the sauteed pea tendrils with garlic make as much sense as the cream spinach, the duck fried rice as the mashed potatoes, and the chartreuse style pork chop as the prime filet mignon. Thanksgiving dinner, JAR makes the Thanksgiving holiday easy with a complete takeout dinner and a menu of sides. Chef Suzanne Trax prepares a meal and a menu of her favorite dishes for the Thanksgiving holiday. Easy to take out, ready for pickup on Wednesday, November 25th, with easy instructions for heating and preparing for the holiday home table. The menu features dishes inspired by Suzanne's family traditions and American holiday flavors. So get your order in. Go to thejar.com.
Yeah.
And you got to check out, I forgot to mention, the fried chicken sundae.
Oh, cut it out.
Oh, yeah, the fried chicken sundae.
Cut it out. By the way, how far are you from Union Station? I'll take the train down, pick it up, and get back on the train and go home.
Maybe 20 minutes.
Okay. That's worth it.
I'll see you there on Fried Chicken Sunday.
There you go.
I'm going to give out the number here, 323-655-6566. You can visit JAR at 8225 Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles. Do yourself a favor. Do that. Thank you, Chef Suzanne.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Happy holidays.
Enjoy your holidays. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the Daniel Emmett Show. I've stolen this moment from our host, Jeremiah. He's asked me to give you the title of the song, Che vuole questa musica stasera? And that is a song that I fell in love with when I heard it for the first time, used in the soundtrack of the movie The Man from U.N.C.L.E. back, I believe it was in the mid-2010s, and just had to record it, and it is going to be a part of my upcoming album releasing later this year.
Billy. What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
Come here.
Say it, spit it out. What is it exactly? Your pain is the amount cleaning you out. Am I satisfactory? Today I'm thinking about the things that are deadly. The way I'm drinking you down, like I wanna drown, like I wanna.
This is Miles Copeland. Yeah, I just had the honor of speaking to the Jeremiah Show. Who would have believed that little old me would have the opportunity to speak on such a prestigious show? And they even talked about my book, my memoir, Two Steps Forward, One Step Back, My Life in the Music Business. So it was a great pleasure to be on that show, The Jeremiah Show.
The Jeremiah Show, the only place to hear the Mike Gormley host interview series, bringing you iconic music business managers, musicians, and the players who have created your favorite music from 1960 to the 2000s. Find all of Mike's past interviews in the Jeremiah Show music catalog on thejeremiahshow.com or your favorite podcast sites.
You're behind the curtain with Ann Heche. This is the TJS Radio Special Ann Heche Film Series. We're exploring 11 of Ann's best works with who else? Ann Heche.
Return to Paradise. Lewis, played by Joaquin Phoenix. Sheriff, played by Vince Vaughn. And Tony, played by David Conrad, are three friends vacationing in Malaysia. Sheriff and Tony eventually leave to pursue careers in New York, but Lewis stays behind to work with orangutans. 2 years later, Sheriff and Tony learn that, because of their past actions, Lewis has been arrested for drug possession. With Lewis facing a death sentence, the friends are left with a difficult decision: return to Malaysia and split Lewis's sentence, or let him die. What a great, that was my, I think that might have been the first film that I personally really connected with you as an actor, or not connected with you, but just really admired and loved, and started seeing as many films as I could that you were in. And
that one popped your cherry.
It did. Yeah. The Ann Heche. Tell us a little bit of it. Take us behind the curtain on Return to Paradise. How was that for you?
Well, Vince Vaughn and Joaquin Phoenix are two of the most unique men, talented beyond anything that they could understand. This was years ago. They were both in a spotlight. I was probably in it too, but because of my naivete, I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. But there, that's probably why I was cast. Yeah, I was in the movie too. But I always took a back seat to myself, actually. But watching the two of them have so much responsibility to the industry, it was a little bit nuts to actually feel the pressure they felt. And if you know, within 24 hours of knowing them, within 2 seconds of knowing, neither one of them, A, asked for it, B, would want it, C, knew what to do with it, but you know, and D, made fun of it. But I mean, we were all in a way running from the moment that that everybody was telling us we were in. I guess I'll put myself into that category. The three of us were like, you know, actors, you know, what the frig was going on? So much attention to all, and certainly to them at that time. They were the it guys.
And so were you.
And so was I. Well, I was like,
the actors you were
doing here.
Look at everything you were around the time frame of that movie that you were in. I mean, you were an it girl too.
So I've recognized in the past, looking back, I wish I had had a little bit more understanding of it. Then I might have made some different choices, more intelligent. But what was incredible about that film and why I think people like that film is because the three of us had absolutely 0% interest in what anybody else thought about anything we were doing. We were probably three equally rebellious artists. Yeah. We fought every single day. The scenes, I mean, it was like an acting class on steroids. We fought so hard, and now we know Vince is a more as a comedian than he is. He's such a like literally such an intelligent dude. And I think why people like the movie is because between Vince and me, we would not let any of the story go without truth. We didn't want our love story to seem casual, which of course in raw on paper it felt, you know, oh yeah, of course the sister of the guy who's going to die, you know, goes to New York and falls in love with the guy that can save her brother's life. You know, it seems so trite to us. And And that will always be that movie will always be so special to me because of that. There was a bottom line of we are going to make this as truthful as it could possibly be, leading to a moment where once they go back, we were in Hong Kong shooting this on top of a mountain. Once the sister of the guy who's going to get killed for smuggling drugs, she gets the other guy to go and take some responsibility. We're all in Hong Kong. We were in Malaysia. We were all shitting out of every single pore. Anything that had a hole, stuff was coming out.
You got sick.
And I watched Joaquin. He's, you know, in the movie, he's my brother. He's fighting for his life. And I watched Joaquin slam his head. And I'm not kidding. Slam his head on the banister of the railing of in the courtroom, slam his head. He's fighting for his life. And Joaquin literally threw his head, pummeled his head into the banister, bleeding, gushing blood, screaming for them to roll camera. They're rolling camera. Blood is coming out of Joaquin's head. He's fighting for his life. In between takes, he is slamming his head. I've never seen, it's called commitment. It could be called
dedication.
I don't know. Yeah. Every single one of us, the three of us, cared so much about making the story not something that seemed like it was frivolous or ridiculous, because it didn't have a happy ending. And we did not want, it didn't have the ending that anybody in Hollywood thought it would have. Which is why it wasn't one of the number one movie of the weekend. But we all walked away with knowing that we did exactly what we wanted to do. And that is a very rare feeling on a film to walk away with a pride that says, fuck it, we did it. We did it to the best of our ability. And we all knew it. It was a very special movie for me.
It was special to me too. And I've gone back to it many times. It's I've tell people about it.
I don't think I've ever seen it, by the way.
You haven't?
You I don't
and
think Heather, so. Heather, another one we should watch.
Why don't you and Heather ever watch your films?
Return to Paradise. No, we have other stuff going on, Jeff.
I know. Here's something that interesting.
We have a podcast to do, dude. We're not watching Ann's old movies.
Better together, Ann and Heather. Check it out. Little quick plug for it there. Oh, beautiful. She's got it. She's ready. It's interesting that you say the three of you, and I hadn't thought about this before, Joaquin Phoenix, Vince Vaughn, Ann Heche, really young, in spotlight on you, as you said, and it's called Return to Paradise, and the three of you get together, forgetting about the outside world, and focus on the craft of acting and giving some of your best work, all three of you. Maybe I hadn't thought about that outside world. Did it help the acting? Did it help put pressure on that pressure? Was that pressure put into making a great film or giving great performances?
Where? What are you talking about?
And Return to Paradise. You said the outside world, the spotlight was on the three of you. Maybe you didn't realize it, but you guys were the hot actors. I mean.
Oh, yeah. That was just kind of a surprise. You know, that took me a long time to come around to understand. Now I see it in about a while. I mean, I see what's going on. But, you know, Vince and Joaquin could give a flying cahoot about what anybody thinks about them. It's one of each of their uniquest qualities and also distracts people from understanding their souls because they're so blatantly not interested in what anybody has to think about them. It's one of the things I respect the most. That's not what it had the effect. And why that movie's so special. First of all, it wasn't called Return to Paradise. It was called something else. And when it was renamed Return to Paradise, Vince and I fought to the death. And I had just done 6 8 7. Like Return to Paradise? What are you talking about? It's about a kid being slammed and put to literal life or death circumstances because of he had weed. I mean, this is, and by the way, it still goes on, but you would think this would be finished in mid third world countries, but it's not. Malaysia, especially. I think we see it in Joaquin, especially in the choices that he makes. He dives, of course, in River, God bless it. River, his brother, you know, passed. He's had some trauma in his life. And every single choice he makes is that dedicated. And I really appreciate that. I think they are both probably two of the most extraordinary actors that we have. I don't know if they've been tested to their limit, but I hope they will be, and I get to be a part of it.
What was the best day on that set?
Okay. So Vince and I have a love scene. Okay. and I'm with Ellen. Okay. At the time. Not as wealthy as I should be. I never cross a line. I always set a boundary and I set it straight so that I can play with the actors that I'm playing. But not always in Hollywood terms, what they want from a female, because often they want, a blowjob at lunchtime. But when you meet another who has the same respect and honor for the person they're working with, the playground is so much bigger. That's what people don't understand. It's not like go fuck like bunnies in the trailer because, hey, you're both hot actors. What's the most respectful you can be, the deepest you can go, is when you create a boundary and then say our playground is in this world that we're creating. Vince and I had that. Now, everybody threw tabloid, blah, 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 blah. I was just, blah, 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 blah. It went so disgustingly gross. Everybody was saying that we were having an affair. Blah, 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 blah. By the way, again, neither one of us gave a shit. It was so funny to us what was going on in America, which we've returned. But there's, okay, so the first time we're supposed to, this love scene. And Vince and I would go back to his trailer with Joaquin and me. We'd all be playing poker and, like, you know, maybe drinking. It doesn't matter. We could give a fuck. We get on the set, and the director, which Vince had some issues with anyway, and Vince is not good with letting people go of issues. Like, he's, but that's the part of the difficulty of Vince. But we were like, you know, obviously we gave each other the boundary of, okay, now we got to do this, so let's do it right. Let's make it cool. Let's figure it out. Let's choreograph the thing. You come from the thing, but I'm there. Let's make it natural. It goes there. We go onto the bed. And Vince and I were like technical about it because we're artists, but also gave us the freedom to work within a boundary of making each other feel safe, but also like, this better be fucking hot. Like, we're not doing a love scene that looks like two idiots who are getting on a bed, right? Well, so Vince and I had figured it out. We thought it was over. Blah, blah, blah. We come closer together. Blah, blah, blah. Hi, my face is here. Blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, over the speakers, and then she goes, let's get it on. We're like, wait, so this music starts piping in. Let's get it on. Oh, by the way, hilarious. It's not Al Jarreau. Who is it? It's
Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, Marvin Gaye. Well, Vince. Okay, so we're about so we're coming closer, right? We do a scene before, you know, when the scene leads up and we're supposed to get, and just as we're about to get, we are, as if it was queued up by the director. Now, Vince and I fucking, first of all, started laughing hysterically and how ridiculous. And by the way, don't give us a music cue. Like, what? Like, it's insulting, first of all. Like, but by the way, that's supposed to be sexual. Like, the whole thing was wrong. And in Vince's mind, that amount of wrong deserves punishment. So the entire sex scene became him punishing the director for being so insulting to him as an actor and to me as an actress that he would put on Marvin Gaye to make us have a sexy fucking scene like it was a surprise. Now, for 6 hours, he derailed the director. Our love scene in that became literally a moment where Vince did not, if he could stop for 1 second to not make fun of the director from, he fucking for days on end would start saying, let's get it out. And he would go, he wouldn't take the director's notes for days. And love scene. Oh my God. He was on top of me. He'd act like he was kissing me and then he'd go, let's get it on. He did not let that motherfucking director get his love scene for 1 second because it insulted him to his core that he thought that he would put a musical note to his acting. And I mean, I kind of agreed with it. Well, this is the amazing thing about Vince. You agree with him, but you can't believe how he's destroying the person who was just trying to do something to help him out. And never will that director service not in business, but anyway, I love seeing him between Marvin Gaye saying fuck you.
I love that. I'm gonna have to watch that scene in a whole new light.
I know, I might have to watch it too.
You guys should watch that, you and Heather. Bring the cast back to Better Together with Ann and Heather.
Oh my God.
All right, Ann, that's Return to Paradise. Go watch it now.
Hey, everybody. I'm Art Alex Hux from the band Everclear, and we're going to be on tour this summer on the Summerland Tour 2021 with Everclear, Living Color, Hoobastank, and Wheatus. Hope to see you guys out there. Take care.
I know I haven't driven you before. I never forget a face. Who recommended me, Miss Eastern?
It was McBride.
Lou? Is he in town?
He's in Penang. He was arrested on drug charges.
Is he still there?
For 8 more days.
So you're telling me that 8 days from right now,
Louis McBride is going to hang. The day you and Tony left, a man came looking for a bike you all had rented. Only they didn't find a bike, they found hashish in the trash.
Why the hell we buy so much hash anyway?
In order for Louis not to be considered a dealer, you and Tony both have to go back to Penang and accept your share of the responsibility. Tony's only going to go back if you also go back.
I need a little time.
Time is one thing we don't have.
I'm MJ Major, reporter for the New York Examiner.
An American journalist tries to criticize Malaysian justice.
I wouldn't go back for any price at all.
I will feel guilty. I really do, just for asking you.
Articles, photographs, petitions, every single one a death warrant.
You guys are my last chance.
If you're talking about something that happened 2 years and 10,000 miles ago.
I found this story. I'm gonna print it.
Your story could cost Lewis's life.
What do you want?
This girl will do anything to get you to do what she needs you to.
It isn't in me.
Lewis would have come back for either of us, and you damn well know it.
Today is almost over, and in Penang, it's already tomorrow.
They weighed him today for the trapdoors of the gallows.
Lewis, you are not alone right now.
My faith in humanity is half restored.
I'm right here, man.
Louis McBride, jangan untuk meminta dakwaan.
What did he say? What did he say?
Not
leave Penang until you leave with me.
It is Cam Anthony here. Make sure you find me on Spotify, where you can find all of my latest music. And make sure you tune in to The Jeremiah Show.
Check out The Jeremiah Show Facebook and YouTube pages for exclusive videos of our Jeremiah Show guest interviews.
Thank you for listening. Communicate, listen more, and evolve.
Close the door on a short night. Lift the lid on the daylight. 6:09 West Tennessee time. And I buy all my days at the same place where the girl sells her nights to God of ocean tides. All night long, writing poems to California, melodies of failure, and the people I have known. Away, meanwhile, somewhere west of Carolina, in a congregation of strangers, we're digging holes to China. Then we pray to our reflections in the water when it rises. I said, headlights pin the highway down. Jesus spins the world around, and I'll spend all my tomorrows coming down. Goodbye, all my days. I know I said I never loved you, but I might just try again tonight. Truck stops and river guides, gas stations of the cross, following a ghost, following a ghost. I pray the water wash away the memories and the cost. And carry me south to the sea, along with your memories of me. We are born in the water, and I will return to thee. Colored lights.
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball, and you can find me every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at facebook.com/MilesZunigaLovesYou. I do a live stream. I'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Hi, this is comedian Maj Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com. Check out our website at thejeremiahshow.com. We are on SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas
at thejeremiahshow.com. Follow us on Instagram at The Real Jeremiah Show.
The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone.
Communicate. Listen more. Evolve.